Let's Mark 16:15. We want to look at in the name. What does it mean to say in the name? That is the authority that comes with believing. There are so many believers who do not know the authority that comes by just believing the gospel. And that's what we want to look at in the name. So I say in the name. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Take note of that. And he that believes not shall be condemned or shall be damned. Verse 17 says, these signs and these signs shall follow them that believe. Any believer here this morning? Alright. He says, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And he says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they, not the believer now, the sick shall recover. You know the thing about the day. You may think the day that will recover is the man that lays hands. That's why I quickly say, not the believer, but the sick shall recover. Lest you think when you lay hands, you do the recovering. Hallelujah. Well, look at the word in the name, or in that instance, in my name. Now, notice what he says to them. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that wasn't the first time that he was going to ask them to preach. You must have noticed that before now, in the same Mark's gospel, chapter 6, from about verse 10, 9 to 10, to 13 as well, you'll find the same people, his own apostles, go out to preach. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, from verse 1 as well, you will discover that he gave them authority to go out to preach. Till verse 8, when it says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, freely have you received, freely should you give. Same thing, Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1. He gave them authority and power over devils and unclean spirits and to heal the sick. Same thing, Luke chapter 10. So he had given them a mandate to go around to preach. What then was unique about this one? She's going into all the world and preach the gospel. Of course, this is the first time that he will tell them to go to all the world. If you observe, the first time he says to them to go in Matthew 10, he says, go not in the way of the Samaritans or the Gentiles. I've only sent you but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So there's something unique about this that we must pay very close attention to. Hallelujah. So he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then this gospel, he says, he that believes. So in other words, before we go further, this gospel must be a message of faith. He that believes and is baptized, he says, shall be saved. One other thing, when he that believes this message, the person he saved. At no time did he ever send them out, and then he told them that whoever believes you will be saved. This is the first time he was going to tell them when they hear you, they will be saved. Even though he had sent them earlier. So one of the issues many times in Bible study and many theologies is sometimes we don't pay attention to some facts. And some of those facts are so critical and crucial that you may go off tangent totally. What do I mean by that? Now, sometimes some things are said in scripture, but then the emphasis is different and the audience is very different. Whoever he's speaking to or speaking with is very different. You pay very good attention to who was there and who was speaking. For example, somebody was speaking with me about fasting, and then he said, well, he does not believe that believers should, there's an instruction in the New Testament to fast. I said, you are wrong. There might not be an instruction or commandment which you are right, but there are examples of it. You know, and I said, look at the example of Acts 13. Acts 13, and I said, in Acts 13, the Bible says in the church that was at Antioch, you know, there were certain prophets and teachers. He mentioned Saul and Barnabas, Paul now. Then he says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, as they ministered to the Lord. Now, in proper Greek construction, that fasting is that ministry. So, he already has told you their fasting was a ministry. And fasting, the Holy Ghost says, separating Barnabas and Saul for the work where I have called them. Then the Bible says, when they had fasted. So, the fasting has a double emphasis. When they had fasted. In other words, they didn't stop fasting as soon as the prophecy came. They continued fasting. I said, pay attention again. I said, Acts 14:23. I'm just trying to give an illustration here. Again, he says they were at the church. And when they were about to ordain elders in the church, they fasted then prayed. I said, did you notice that in the two instances that we read, the audience were ministers? Acts 13. Or the emphasis, not just the audience, was about ministers and ministry, service. I said, then go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul says, in verse 3, he says, approving ourselves as ministers of the gospel, or ministers of God, giving nothing, no offense that the ministry be not blamed. I said, he mentioned impureness in knowledge by fasting. In other words, he's saying we test ourselves, we approve ourselves in ministry by fasting. Then I said, you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we saw references. If you see something so emphatically mentioned there, then it's not a joke. You pay attention. I said, did you observe something else? That all our references to fasting has got to do with ministry. He said, yeah. So that shows you it's a careless statement to say there's no commandment to fast. Sure, you're right. You're right. But if Paul fasted and the apostles fasted, I think I should fast. Praise the Lord. So sometimes we can be, you know, a dear fellow was saying something else. He said, there's no instruction in the New Testament to give percentages. I said, you are wrong. I know you want to speak against tithing. But sometimes, when you shoot aimlessly, you will kill your relative. Do you understand? You shoot with brain. I said, there is actually percentage giving. I said, where, sir? I said, come with me. I'm the one talking. 1 Corinthians 16. As he has prospered. How do you know you are prospered more? It's percentage. So, one more. There's even one more that is stronger. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders, say, read it with me. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of, what's the word double? Mathematics. Is that not percentage? Say yes. So that means you calculate that one. Double. It means times two. So you are wrong to have said there is no percentage giving. The only thing is that the percentage giving is generosity. So sometimes we can speak, you know, we assume too many things. Praise the Lord. So you pay attention to details, to words said, to tenses used, to the emphasis placed on it. And so, in this instance, we're looking at what Jesus said here. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What was unique about this? What was unique? Go to Luke's Gospel 24. We're going to come back here. Luke's Gospel 24, just the next book from Mark 16. Are you in church? All right. Watch this. In 25. And he said unto them, this was upon his resurrection, he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So he's referring to the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus, about himself now. 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, as he explained to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Let's go to verse 44. These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And verse 45, then open ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. 46, And he said unto them, thus it is written, pay attention here, and thus it behold Christ to suffer, and arise from the dead the third day. Then he says in 47, and that repentance, let's say 47 together, let's go, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Pay attention to that. So Jesus talks about prophecies, okay, and he mentions, and critically so, that the prophecies of the Old Testament were not just about his death. Of course, they were about his incarnation. Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:7. They were about his incarnation, alright? But then, the prophecies of the Old Testament were chiefly about his death, and much more about his resurrection. Prophecies situated more about his resurrection. Now, go back to Mark 16. When he made this instruction in Mark 16, his resurrection had been accomplished. So that is the difference between what they had preached before now. When you use the word gospel, the gospel must be, what is the fact of this gospel? So, they had preached before now, but critically, at this point, the emphasis was now not his death, because everybody knew he had died, but the emphasis now was that he had been raised from the dead. Now go back to that Mark 16, just something I want to tidy up, so that it doesn't... Now, there are some versions, I think the NIV, maybe the old one, in Mark 16, that criticize verse 15 and believe that Mark 16 ends with verse 14. Some of you probably have versions like that, and they will tell you some manuscripts do not have verse 15 to verse 20, and then they believe that Mark 16 ends with 14. Let's see how unreasonable that will look like. Mark 16, 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, and they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So they believe that this particular account ends here. You know the reason for that, and I know that this is because of a particular movement called the Reformation movement, or the Reformed theology. Not all of them, but quite a good number of them. Of them you have the Calvinists, and so on. They are my friends. We don't just see Jesus the same way, but they are my friends. And then they believe that, because if this verse 15 to verse 20 will authenticate what they don't want to preach, and that is the believer's authority. The fact that the believer has this authority. I know we have done something along the line in the charismatic ministry. Okay, so we have done that already, but I'm just explaining a bit. And so they believe that, because by the time you accept that, you say, this sign shall follow them that believe. Believe the gospel. In my name they will cast out devils. They'll heal the sick, they'll speak with tongues, if they drink anything that's gonna hurt them, they'll take up serpent. Now, so that's the reason why some translators, and some versions have a bias. I don't want to go into all that this morning. They have a bias. So some folks will extract this because of their theology. And I can understand them, because some of them were Protestants. They were protesting at a time when the church was all about the supernatural, the words of the Pope, the miracles and the signs, and then the, what do you call these things that they call it, the indulgences. And so, sometimes, in criticizing something, you can go overboard. That's why I said earlier, when you're shooting, without aiming properly, you may shoot yourself. So sometimes, some people are just protecting what they want to believe. So we want to see whether this could ever make sense. That Jesus will end everything he said by verse 14. And you know what we're going to do is very simple. We'll read this text all over again. And then we'll go to the other portions of the scriptures that explain what Jesus said and what he did after he rose from the dead. Are you ready for that? Okay, so let's go to that 14 one more time. After what he appeared unto the 11, as he sat at meat and upbraided them. The word to upbraid them means to correct. He found fault in what they had done immediately. And he says, with their unbelief, he calls it hardness of the heart. A very strong word. The word hardness of the heart is from the Greek word sclerocardia. Sclero is spelled S-K-L-E-R-O. Cardia is K-A-R-D-I-A. S-K-L-E-R-O-K-A-R-D-I-A. Sclero means difficult, hard, unreceptive, unyielding. Difficult, hard, unreceptive, unyielding. Cardia means heart. Cardiac. So it means that he rebuked them for their unyielding heart. Difficult to persuade. That is his own 11. He rebuked them. I want you to pay very good attention here. He rebuked them for their unyieldingness. What did he call it? Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, let's imagine this is the only account of the four Gospels. There will be a lot of trouble because so many facts will have not been said. All he did was just tell them, why didn't you guys believe that I had been raised from the dead or had risen from the dead? And then a whole account of Jesus' life and maybe resurrection ends there. It doesn't make any kind of sense. Now, again, that word is quite a strong word, sclerocardian. You find it used by Jesus as touching those that were given the law in Matthew 19 verse 8. When they asked Jesus, why then did Moses give us a commandment to divorce? Then he said, because of the hardness of your heart. That's unbelief. That's why Moses gave the law. Same thing in Mark 10:5. The word sclero is quite another terminology that is strange. It's used for someone that is difficult and hard. Matthew 25:24. And of course, John 6:60. John 6 and verse 60. A hard saying, they call it. Difficult saying. You find it also in Acts 9:5. Acts 26 verse 14. Acts 9:5, Acts 26:14, James 3 verse 4, and Jude 15. Acts 9:5, Acts 26:14, James 3 4, and Jude 15. So he ends up by just doing what? He ends up by saying to them, why didn't you guys believe? See you! You just didn't believe I'd been raised from the dead. And then the whole account ends up. What would that do to me? A whole account ends up. Not on a positive note. So, assuming Mark ends that way. But then let's look at the other account. Matthew. Matthew 28. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, the same account, went away into Galilee onto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Let's take verse 17 together. Let's go. And when they saw him, they worshipped, and some doubted. Now the word doubt is the word distazo. D-I-S-T-A-Z-O. D-I-S-T-A-Z-O. It means to hesitate. Is he the one? No? Is he not the one? Distazo. It's not just the usual word used for doubt, diacrino. It means, is he the one? They're looking at him. Don't touch him yet. And some. Now, the word some there is also not too good a translation. It should be they doubted. Because the word there is H-O in the Greek is not used for quantity. It's used as a preposition. They doubted. So, that's all of them. They worship him. But they doubted. Again, bringing to fore the fact that they did not receive the witness that Jesus had been raised from the dead. In fact, that's precise. They did not receive that witness that he had been raised from the dead. So again, this authenticates the fact that when they were told that he was raised from the dead, even when they saw him, they were still hesitating. That is, the 11 disciples called the apostles. Let's see Luke's account. Luke will be our last account. John's account, John 20. Read verse 2. She runneth, that's Mary Magdalene, to Simon Peter and to other disciples whom Jesus loved. That's John talking about himself. I said unto them, they have taken, look at what he said, they have taken the Lord, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. This is unbelief glorified. We know not where they have laid him. And Peter therefore went forth, and that other apostle, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. That's John. Competition has started since then. And stooping down, they saw the linen close lying, yet went he not in. Then come at Peter saying, and see the linen, you know, and the clothes. And then they saw that. And look at verse 8. They went in also the other disciples who came first to the sepulchre and saw and believed. What did they believe? Huh? That they had gone to sell the body of Jesus. Something like that. You know? For, look at 9. Let's take verse 9 together. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So, those disciples, obviously, did not believe. So, verse 15 first. Then, Mary went back there. Well, it's a woman, she's crying. She's just crying. What she's crying over, you probably ask her when you see her, but she's just crying. And then verse 15, Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom do you look for? Whom do you see? Supposing she was a gardener, sir. If you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Can you imagine? She wants to design his body. She wants to wash the body. She wants to take care of it. She's in love. She loves the Lord, but she doesn't love the word. So, Jesus now said to her, Mary. Let's leave that for another day. She turned herself and said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And then he said, touch me not. Actually, touch me no longer, because she actually held him. Typical. Oh my God! He's a lie. I think she must have said that. Then he said, touch me no longer. I'm yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father, your Father, to my God and your God. So, she had seen him, now goes back to talk to them. Now, have you observed that this account is more elaborate? So that means there was a focus in Mark that wasn't here. Mark quickly went to something else. But here, John gives us some more details. What happened within many hours, Mark writes it in basically a verse. So, then, of course, that went on. Now, look at that verse 20. And then, so Jesus now went amongst them in verse 20, and when he still said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. The word showed there means to point out. It's not just to look at this. It's to typically almost undress yourself. It's the Greek word, deiknoumi. D-E-I-K-N-U-M-I. D-E-I-K-N-U-M-I. Actually to typically show every part of yourself. So they had to touch him. You know, and those guys really were unbelievers. Touch him. Is his skin moving? Is there? It is. He's alive. And they were doing all that. So this explains a bit more than Mark. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 21. He just said to them, peace unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now this is a summary. It's a summary of what he was saying. And then in verse 22, as he said this, and when he had said this, pardon me, he breathed on the word them, there is italicized. It's a figurative word. I'll spell it for you in the Greek. It's empusao. E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. It means to cause to be wicked, to be awake. So what happened is that he quickened their reasoning. It's not that I did like this. No. You can minister that way, but that's not what Jesus did here. What he did here is a product of words. That is, the things he said to them quickened them. The things he said to them quickened them. An emphasis is something that happens inside a man. It's like a resuscitation. It quickened them to blow inside someone. So this was an expression of what he did to them. So don't forget again, somebody wasn't there, and that was Thomas. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The disciples there said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my, this guy is very elaborate, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I must do double check. And Jesus said, alright, peace be unto you, verse 26, Thomas, 27, bring your finger, and he brought it. Reach, behold my hands, and reach the finger of thy hand, and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas went like this, sir, are you serious, Lord? And he goes, my Lord, my God. He actually did do it. And Jesus said to him, okay, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. What is he doing there? He's correcting them. He's upbraiding them. So what Mark said is much more elaborate. There were much more details to what he said. Now go to Luke's account. Luke 24. Still out there? Are you still out there? Luke 24. Now look at verse 44. Before we get to 44, see what happens. Verse 36. As he thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you so troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, for it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while he was yet, they believed not for joy, and wondered, he said to them, that means even after all that, they were still looking. He said, alright, do you have food? And they said, yes. These guys are stiff, man. Sclerocardia. And they actually gave Jesus fish and honeycomb. He said, oh, Master Abba, don't bother now. Now you know, we shall be you. They said, Master, we love you, but eat this one first. They did all that. And you know, Jesus went all the way. They acknowledged him. He showed himself to them. But you see, if he had stopped there, and that's all he did, then there will be a major challenge to the ministry of the gospel. But he did not. Because that will mean It will not be a message of faith. So what did he do? Verse 44. Verse 44 now says that he took them through the Old Testament. Moses in the law, David in the Psalms, and then the prophet concerning himself. Now, are you following this? Are you following this, guys? Now, look at 45. Then he what? Open what? Their understanding, which is the word danogio, that means for the first time. Now, where is their understanding? Right in their heart. So, is this what John was saying? A brief. It quickened their thinking. Oh, that they might understand the scriptures. So, you can see that Luke gave us much more details than Mark did about what Jesus did to their unbelief. Who's following what I'm saying? Let me see your hand, come on. Come, let me see your hand if you're following this. Luke gave us much more details. John just called it a brief. That's what John said. Matthew does not even tell us this. Matthew just told us they doubted. Luke gave us a detailed account that Jesus had to explain his resurrection to them from the Old Testament. Because that is the only way they can preach it to the world. They can't carry his pictures to the world or selfies. They can't carry his voice to the world. They can't say, well, he touched me, his cream is still on my hand. It will not last for 10 years. They can't do that. They will have to preach from the written word. And so Jesus therefore set a pattern for them. Took them through the Old Testament about himself. So I'm going to ask you, did Jesus preach to them? Huh? Did Jesus preach the gospel to them? By preaching the gospel to them, did he breathe in them? He quickened their thinking. Did he open their understanding? Okay? Was real faith birthed in their heart? So that means that they did not believe just because they touched him. They believed because the scriptures are true. Let me see if they're following that. Come on. Okay, good. So, pay attention here now. So, Luke gave us much more detail than he now says. When he opened their understanding, he now says, thus it is written, verse 46, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Again, is that a direct statement or a summary? Summary of what? Summary of verse 44 is 46. Let me see if you're following that. All that Moses in the law, the Psalms, and the prophets said is it is written that Christ must suffer and then rise again from the dead the third day. Now pay attention now, so don't lose this one. Was that all he told them? No. That was not all he told them. Because in verse 27 or 25, it says, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, Luke 24, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. So there was glory in what he showed them. And listen carefully now. 47. So, can we say it together? 40. Luke 24, 45 is similar to John 20, 22. Come on. Okay. So, at that point, what happened to the disciples? They became born again. They believed the gospel. Where was the gospel, or what was the gospel Jesus preached to them? The fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. Come on, church, are you following this? So then their minds were opened. So in verse 45, they had what we call repentance. Repentance means for your mind to change. So their mind was opened, and then it changed. So look at verse 47. Don't forget, we want to establish Mark 16:15. Are you there? Alright, good. So look at verse 47. Let's take verse 47 together. Everybody there? Everybody go? And that what? And what? Remission of sins should be what? Preached. Should be what? Should be what? Preached. By who? By the folks who you're supposed to. So, should be preached. That means, in Luke's account, Jesus did not just open their minds to the gospel, he also gave them an assignment. Okay? Now, is that consistent? Matthew 28. Are you in church? Are you in church? Come on. Matthew 28. Verse 18. All authority, that's the word power there, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Let's take 19 together now. Imagine if he just said, all authority is given to me on earth. Amen, amen, amen. Up of Jesus, down, down, Satan. No. What does he say next? 19. Go ye therefore. Billy Graham says, anytime you read the word go, it is go. Even when you have gone, it is saying go. Go ye therefore, and what? Teach all nations. Forget the word baptizing there. Verse 20. Teaching them. Now, the first word teaching them is the word matituo. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. I want to believe that we explained that word several times last year, that you'll have been matitued. Alright? It means to make men learn, to raise students. Okay? Then he says in verse 20, teaching them to observe. The word teaching, the second one is the word didasko. D-I-D-A-S-K-O. It means to instruct and to explain. So, in Matthew's account, Matthew didn't tell us much of Jesus' preaching to them. But he told us he gave them responsibility. Come on, let me see your hand. Okay? Okay, that's Matthew's account. Do we have a corroboration of that? Max, okay, Luke's account. Verse 47. Repentance and remission of sins should be what? Preached. Okay? Preached. The word preached is the word keruzo. It's not done by drama. Somebody shout amen. Say it loud now. Say amen.
Amen.
Say me, I preach the gospel by drama. Come, let me hug you. That's my New Year resolution. I'll just hug you. No, last year was come. I won't beat you. But I'll hug you. See, I'm preaching the gospel with drama. No, you are not. You are doing drama. The gospel is preached. Keruzo means to proclaim with words. Not to use body styles. It's not by choreography or bodygraphy. Dun, 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 dun. And now, do that one again. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. I asked the guy, what's the end of choreography? He said, it's to demonstrate in the natural what you see in the spirit. I said, you need to go back to the spirit. You are seeing double. Why would they be genuflecting God's word to you when you can see? Sorry, where you can hear. So it's because you can't hear, so you don't have to let this. What a beautiful name. Nothing compares. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Some people really like entertainment. That's why they go to church. See, that church was boring. There was no lie. Just teaching. After a while, I just say, we have heard. Someone told me something in a meeting I had in 96. He said, you want to kill us? Say, you quoted 150 scriptures. It was boring. So there's been life in the service, you know. I believe that people's attention span is very low. After 15, 20 minutes, you spice up the atmosphere. Yes. Bring on a comedian. Yeah. Hey, now so we did go for Coco. You know all those things. Hallelujah. Where were we? Caruso means to announce by words, to proclaim. Is used 61 times. It's also a verb. It's not your lifestyle. Don't say, my lifestyle is preaching. Preaching to who? Say, my lifestyle. Just by my lifestyle. In my office, because I'm always smiling. And winning souls. Was that how you got born again? So you're smiling. You say, Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart. Or you want to cast out the demon. Just smile. Oh, where were we now? So he says, you preach. So, after telling them about the gospel, he said, you teach it. Then in Luke 24:47, he says, you preach it. Look at John 20. Verse 21. As that my Father sent me, so send I you. Verse 23. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained unto them. Now, notice something. And I want very good attention here. I believe you are all Bible students. The word you is silent. It is the translator's license. In the Greek, then the word sins is not said twice. Whosoever sins are remitted, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever you retain, they are retained. Whosoever are retained, are retained. He's not talking about sins. Now, this is similar to what we're about to read in Mark 16. He that believes shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. He didn't say shall not be saved. No. Because that will be the person's free will. The saving or the salvation is the work of the Savior. The refusal is the man's work. So you can't say cannot be saved. No, he can be saved. But he is condemned. And we say, the wrath of God and condemnation is man-made. It's man-made. So, in other words, John 20:23 and John 20:21 is within what he said to them. I'll look at this. When he says, I just skipped something. Shall be retained. The word retained is the word kratao. I'll take it on later. It means to stay. That means the man will stay condemned, while the fellow who hears the gospel will receive remission of sins. So in other words, after Jesus, let's take it like this. When Jesus rose from the dead, let's look at the sequence again. What happened? The disciples doubted that he had risen, right? What happened after? Let's take the sequence together. Then he appeared to them. Then he showed them that he was alive. Was that the end? Then he preached to them. Then they believed. Then he sent them out to preach. Now listen carefully to this. All of this happened, we're about to see shortly, in 40 days. It was not one service. So that means the eyewitness account we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are summaries. They don't break it down fact per fact. No, they are summaries. So, go back to Mark 16. Okay, look, Acts 1. Verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. Okay? Let's take verse 2 and verse 3 together. Let's go. Until the day in which, everybody, let's go again. Let's go. After he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom we have chosen. Verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. Being seen of them. Okay, hold on. So, he showed himself to them. Was this why they became believers? No. Then being seen of them 40 days, what did he do? Speaking of the things. How many days were they together? 40 days. So, he kept speaking to them. He kept teaching them. Where was he teaching them from? The Old Testament books. So verse 4. Let's take verse 4 together. And being assembled together with them. Go on. Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. But then it ends. Let's take verse 8 together. Everybody, let's go. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, born in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, which verse is similar to Acts 1:8? Luke 24:47? Okay? Matthew 28:19? Is it similar? John 20:21-23? Similar? Okay, so go back to Mark 16. So, would it be appropriate to say Mark 16 will end in verse 14. No. We must show that he gave them an assignment. Let me see how you follow what we're saying here. Okay. So, you have some versions there put together by professors of theology and different schools and university professors that are absolutely wrong. So, Mark 16:14. And afterward he appeared unto them, unto the 11, as he sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. If I let me give you one more. Go to Hebrews 2. One more. Some of these things, you see them in the book Charismatic Ministry. Notice what he says in Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by who? The Lord. Upon his resurrection. And was confirmed unto us by them that word. See that? Obviously, that's talking about the 40 days. Right? Okay. So, the 40 days. So go back to Mark 16. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. So let's take verse 15 together. So have we admitted verse 15? Legitimately? Let's go now, let's go. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Is that consistent? Is that consistent? So he gave him an assignment. That he that believes shall be saved. Remission of sins shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 1:8, you shall be witnesses on me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So, that means the message he gave them here will be the gospel of his incarnation. Huh? The gospel of what? His resurrection. So the key fact here is his resurrection. The gospel is not his death. The gospel is his resurrection. So his glory is not his death. His glory is his resurrection. Pay attention here. So the key facts in the prophecies of the prophets, the key element will be his resurrection. So in Matthew chapter 11 verse 9, Jesus defines John the Baptist as the greater of all the prophets. He calls him more than a prophet. A greater. It's the Greek word perissos. P-R-I-S-S-O-S. Which means he has preeminence among the prophets. Listen carefully now. He has preeminence among the prophets. He's the chief of them all. You know, a lot of people don't really know John's ministry like that. I've seen people, you know, just say different stuff about John. But you need to realize that that means John was superior to David. Superior to Isaiah. He was. Jesus said it. Look at Matthew 11. Jesus said it. We get our teaching on the law and prophets. That's also there. In Matthew 11, he says, more than a prophet. Then he says, in verse 10, for it is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, verse 11, among them that are born of women, there are not risen a greater. So he's talking about prophets, right? Come on. Then John the Baptist, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Look at verse 12. Let's take verse 12 and 13 together. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, suffered and the violence taken it by force. He's talking about persecution, not about prayer and killing your enemies. Verse 13, let's go. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So John is the cap of the prophets. So therefore, what is, notice that Jesus quoted who? Now, give me your ears in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus began from Moses and all the prophets. It was a Genesis to Malachi. True. But Jesus also quoted John. He did. We read that earlier. Acts 1, 4 and 5. Because when he mentions being baptized with the Holy Ghost, only John had said that earlier. It's not in any of Jesus' teachings in the four Gospels. It was John who said it. And being baptized with the Holy Ghost is the glory of the resurrection. So, pay attention now. The entire book of Acts is a fulfillment of John's prophecy. John the Baptist. Because it was he that Jesus was quoting. You know, Jesus said, not many days hence you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:5. As John indeed baptized with water, but you have heard. Where did they hear it from? They heard it from a prophet. Which prophet? John. Who's following what I'm saying here? Come on. So, Jesus could not have left John out of the prophecies of his glory. Matthew 3, verse 16 and 17. Sorry, verse 11 and 12. I indeed, this is John, baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Mark 1:8. And what did Jesus do? Jesus is the Word. Just like he did to Isaiah, Jeremiah, he selected what was his own in what John said. You know, John said, Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus did not add fire to his own. So, just like he did to all the prophets, the things concerning himself, he took his own. Let John explain the fire part. Mark 1:8. That's why in Mark's account, Mark ensured that he did not add John's words. Verse 8. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Luke retained John's words. Luke 3:16-17. John the beloved did not retain the words. John 1:33. Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. John 1:33. The same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Now, this prophecy of John, was it about the incarnation or the resurrection? So, that means John prophesied about the resurrection of Christ. Let me see how they're following this. Okay? So, one more. So, what was John's message? John's message was not water baptismo. John's message was the resurrection of Jesus. And the glory that is in it. Look at John 3. Look at the words of John the Baptist. So sometimes we've probably not understood people. That's why on Wednesday we're starting a series on the book of James. Amen. Explaining the book of James. Just an introduction. So you understand the terms that James used. You know, look at John 3. This is John speaking. Verse 30. He must increase and I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. Okay? And speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And he that has seen and heard, and he testified, and no man received his testimony. He that has received his testimony hath said to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure. Let's take verse 35 together. Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things to his hand. Is this the incarnation or the resurrection? Thank you. Verse 36, let's go. He that believes on the Son hath what? Incarnation or resurrection? Thank you. And he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the word of God abides on him. Whose words are these? These are the words of John the Baptist. So, did John the Baptist preach the new birth? Being born again. Oh, very good. So, obviously, John really was a greater prophet. And so John, in speaking about the resurrection of Jesus, speaks about his glory. What is that glory? The baptism with the Holy Ghost, which we have been explaining in the first service, if you have missed that. So, John spoke about the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is to be immersed. To be immersed. An identification that happens to a man who has believed the gospel. And Jesus quotes John again in Luke 24 verse 49. You shall be clothed with power from on high. Enduo. Enduo means to enter into a dress. Baptism means to enter into something. The same thing. Acts 1 verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. And Peter repeats the same thing in Acts 11 and verse 16. Pay attention. So the resurrection of Jesus is a unique event. The resurrection of Jesus is what avails man all the benefits of his death. The resurrection of Jesus is where we receive what he has done. If Christ be raised not from the dead, even though he died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching nothing, and our faith nothing. In verse 17, it says, if he's not raised from the dead, then you are yet in your sins. So in his resurrection is what we can call the buffer, the benefit. The blessing of his redemption is in his resurrection. His glory is not in his death. His glory is in his resurrection. So he sends these guys to go, the 12 now, the apostles. He sends them to go into all the world and preach. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 to 12, Peter says, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Just like Luke 24 to verse 27 to 25, to enter into his glory. The word glory is the word doxa. Doxa means your wealth, resources, an office, a capacity. Doxa. Don't forget, we're looking at the term in his name or in the name. So what do we mean by the name? Go to Mark 16 again. So Jesus died, but he did not stay dead. Jesus was buried, but he did not stay buried. And Jesus was raised from the dead, and he stays alive forever. Hallelujah. So that is where you will see his glory. Pay attention. So in Mark 16, he says, go into all the world and preach. Give me more facts. Preach. Preach. Give me more facts. We have done over 1 hour study. Preach that he has been raised from the dead. Were they preaching that in the four gospels? Who apart from Jesus preached that in the four gospels? Thank you. So what did John say about the resurrection? He will baptize with the Holy Ghost. Who's following what I'm saying here now? Good. So go into all the world and preach what? Exaltation. That was just adding some insight. I love your insight. Come on. His resurrection from the dead. His exaltation. Okay, good. He that believed. Praise God. He that believes. Believes what? Is what? Baptized. That means he that believes will be immersed. Hallelujah. In that event. He is not, it's not saying he that believes will be baptized in water. So where you're going for evangelism, you carry buckets. Where you're going, so I'm going for evangelism. No. He that believes, by that believing, you are what? Immersed. Just like that fellow who was a criminal on the cross with Jesus. He's on the cross. And Jesus says, hey, bros, so unfortunate we can't get water. What do we do? He just said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. That means before all the apostles, somebody on the cross knew Jesus would be raised from the dead. What they were grabbing to believe. But Jesus said, remember me. He said, this man has done nothing wrong. He acknowledges the sacrifice for sin. The Lord, remember me. What do you think? What would take a man who is on the cross with another man to die? Why would he call him Lord? my God. So this is not a bad guy. He remembered me. When you enter into your kingdom, he knew he would be raised from the dead. Jesus said, now I say unto you today, you will be with me. That's the baptism. Where he is where you will be. He that believes is baptized, he's saved. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. So there is the glory of Christ in the resurrection, in the gospel that we preach. Luke 24:47 says, repentance and remission of sins will be preached in the name. Matthew 28. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. John 20:31. Look at John 20:31. That believing you may have life. John 20:31. You may have life through or in his name. Life through or in his name. So when you say name, what do you mean? J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, you are my Savior, you are my Redeemer. And we say, well, Jesus is J-E-S-U-S, 5 letters. David killed Goliath with 5 letters. J-E-S-U-S. Forgotten that he killed Goliath with just 1 stone. And meanwhile, Jesus in Hebrew is not 5 letters. And Jesus in Greek is not 5 letters. Jesus in English is 5 letters. And the English language is barely 800 years old. So that Rema needs logos. When you say name, what do you mean? The word name is the Greek word onoma. O-N-O-M-A. It is used to describe a person's reputation. A person's fame. What you are known for. A person's character. Hallelujah. You following this? Are you following this? So, now that he has explained to them, they had known Jesus as the one who was anointed. Okay? He healed the sick. They had seen that the power of God was working through him. Now, he had died. That brought a lot of sadness to their hearts, a lot of sorrow. But now, they saw him alive. He's not just alive. He's alive forevermore. And then he shows them from the word what it means for him to be alive. He's not justified as, oh, just God says, thank you, Jesus. Jesus says, oh, thank you, Jesus. Says, oh, my. Guys, it was easy, but it was worth it. Guys, I live now. I couldn't escape. No. By the time he explained to them what his resurrection meant, and they saw it, said, now, go to all the world and preach this. He that believes and he's baptized, that is immersed in this, shall be saved. This is this science. Shall follow them that believe in my reputation. In my reputation. What is his reputation? He has now been raised from the dead. In my accomplishment. In what I have done. So the name is not the letters. No. The name is an office. The name is an accomplishment in my reputation. For example, some people have a false name. How many English Premiership titles? They call themselves Kings of London. That is a false name. It's like saying, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, who are you? Hallelujah. You don't believe that, that's your problem. What am I talking about? I don't know. But you see, name has to do with reputation. What someone has accomplished. So, what he says to them, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my accomplishment. He's not expecting them to preach it outside this fact. In every nation. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 10. See in church? Luke 10. Don't forget, the word name means what? It refers to something you have done. Or something you have attained. Or something you have accomplished. If you just go and be bearing Jesus. Oh, have mercy, Lord. Where were we? Luke chapter 10. Verse 17. Look at this. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Now, through your what? Or what you have done. Okay. So, what is his name here? Were they going to say? In the name of Yeshua. Yeshua. No. Go back to Luke 9. Verse 1. And when he called his disciples, verse 1, together, he gave them over devils, cure diseases, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So, that is the name. What he told them to do. And why did they have faith in what he said? Because they had seen him heal the sick. So, instead of just saying, you know what, guys? You are going to do what I have done. And they went ahead. And so they went and they came back and said, Master, wow. Those demons are listening to us like they were listening to you. No, it was in the name of Jesus. No, that wasn't what they were saying. So, by verse 18, are you following this? Okay. By verse 18, he now says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, look at 19. I believe you are thinking with me. Let's take verse 19 together. Behold, I give unto you. Over all. And nothing shall by any means. Hold on. Was this futuristic or it was just re-explaining what he gave them? Is he talking to the believer here? No. No, he's not. This is what he gave them earlier on. Said, I gave you. What he said here, we just read it in Luke 9:1 and 2. Said, see, I gave you authority. So he's saying, why are you surprised? Behold, I gave you authority. So I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So I gave you authority. Then he says in verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the demons are subject unto you. So you are claiming that you are casting out devils. I just finished casting out sin. Hey! He says, rejoice not. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Speaking about the resurrection from the dead. It has more joy. Hallelujah. There's much more in it. That's what he's saying. Hear this. So when you say the name, you are referring to an accomplishment. A task, an office. In this instance, we said the glory of Christ is his name. You can call Jesus and you don't know his name. His name will refer to what he has accomplished. Now, hold on somewhere. Go to Matthew 16. Now, do we all see that these disciples were knowing Jesus differently on his resurrection? Is that correct? Is that correct? They saw him in a new light. So we can say they saw him in a different office. And so they were not expected to function like they would have functioned in the four Gospels. Who's following what I'm saying here? Look at Matthew 16. Pay attention. He asked them this question after he had sent them to preach all over the place. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Let's take verse 14. They said, some say you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In other words, this doesn't reveal his character because this is not the gospel that we preach. They knew him by the signs and wonders and miracles. We know him by his resurrection. Hallelujah. We know him by his resurrection. We know him from the point of he being raised from the dead, glory to God, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Look at Acts 10. You following this? Okay. Verse 36. Can I read that now? The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. Acts 10, 36. The word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea. Now, published throughout. Is that a name? Is that a name? Good. And began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So, we are about to read the name of Jesus in the four Gospels. Are you following this? Are you following this? Remember, name means reputation, character, or fame. So what was his name in the four Gospels? Verse 38. Our God what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And with the Holy Ghost. With power he went about doing good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So they did miracles because he did miracles. Come on. The fame he had in healing the sick was what they walked on and they healed the sick. Come on, guys, are you following this? Okay, so that was his name in the four Gospels. But go on. And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 40 now. Let's take verse 40 together. Raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people. Go on. But shows him before God. To us, who did eat and drink with him. Is the facts changing? Are the facts changing? 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he. To be what? And witness. And through his name, whosoever. Which name now? Which name? Which name? Now, don't forget. All the prophets, did they quote John? Was John one of the prophets? Did they say what John said? Did Peter say what John said about the baptism with the Holy Ghost? Alright, good. Believe in him shall receive what? Did John preach verse 43? So the moment Cornelius heard that, he believed how he spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. You following this now? So, the facts of their message changed as soon as Jesus' office changed. He moved from the incarnate one, the anointed one, he's now the exalted one. Praise God. He's now the exalted one. Exalted over the devil. He never said this until he rose from the dead. All authority is given me. He never said that. All. Today, he has all. Hallelujah. In heaven and on earth. So he's called anointed in the four Gospels. Today he is exalted. Hallelujah. He's not anointed. He's now exalted. All authority is now given unto him. And that is the gospel that we have believed. Hallelujah.
So his name is his office. His name is his office.
When a man today say in the name, says in the name, it means in your resurrection. In the work that you did in 3 days and three nights. And rose from the dead. Hallelujah. In that name. So a man must identify with it. Praise God. Whatever we see after the four gospels is his reputation upon his resurrection. I'm going to ask you a question as we close. Is the resurrection still available today? Is he still alive? Is he still alive? That means whatever he did is still valid today. You know, when he died in the four gospels, those guys lost hope. They ran away. They couldn't walk a single miracle again. Why? Allow me to say this. The name had died. They couldn't see him anymore. And so they lost boldness and confidence. But when he rose from the dead, and they saw it from the word, and they had faith in that fact, hallelujah, they were no longer walking in the reality of the four gospels. They were now walking in the reality of his name, his resurrection. He's alive. They need not see him heal the sick before they heal the sick. They need not see him cast out demons before they cast out demons. So he says in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. Anybody like that here? In my name. Don't forget, we are not using the name. The first thing he says, he that believes is what? Baptized. The first thing that happened to you when you believe, you became baptized where? In the name. So you are now in the name. Say, I'm in the name. Say, I'm in the name. Say, I'm in the name. You are in the name now. It took us faith to get into the name. Now that we are in the name, all things are ours. Whatever is in the name is yours. Because you are baptized in the name. I know you are not going to change your name tomorrow to Jesus Wumi. That's not what we're talking about. It's not a change of name. Say you used to be Oguwale. Now say Jesus Wale. You are confused. In fact, bearing Ifa makes it sweeter that you are in the name. And if I in the name, they shall go in the name. Hallelujah. It's confusion. See, the reason why you are not making it in life is because of your name. When you change your name to Jesu Dele, you have got a job in a company owned by a man called Shoguwanwa. Are you not confused? Beyond superstition, I'm in the name. In the name. So the first thing you need to identify with us, we pursue in the weeks to come. I believe that our eyes will be opened to walk in our rights and privileges in Christ. First thing you realize, you don't get into the name, you are in the name now. It's not a prayer point. It's not by shouting, in the name of Jesus. Say it seven times. They now add the mighty name, as though the first one is not mighty. In the matchless mightiest. If you don't put those things, it won't work. No, I'm in the name. I'm in the name. I'm in the name. I'm in the name. I'm in what he has done. I'm a beneficiary of what he has done. So say, in my name, they shall. Hallelujah. They shall. So, I must learn to walk in the name. To use the name not like a secondary element, but to use a name
like a man walking in his own rights and privileges. As we study further, we're going to see that the name of Jesus speaks of our rights and privileges. The name of Jesus speaks of our inheritance. The name of Jesus speaks of our accomplishment in Him. The name of Jesus speaks about who you are in Christ. When you say in the name, you're actually saying who I am in Christ. Hallelujah. That's the reputation. Because His reputation has become our reputation. You bless this afternoon.